message this morning as the message deals with growing up in Christ, maturity in the Lord. You know, it's one thing when you're small. You know, when you're a kid, it's okay to be a little immature. But as you get older, you're supposed to grow up and you're supposed to recognize responsibility. Yesterday, before the Duke game came on, Nathan, my oldest son, came to watch. We were going to watch a Duke game together. Atticus, he loves Uncle Nathan. So he was hanging out with Uncle Nathan, and they were talking, and Uncle Nathan said, you know, looking for a new place to live, Atticus, I need a roommate. He says, man, all the candy you can eat, that's what I have to offer you. And Atticus says, I'm in. You know? And he said, but I have other news. You got to pay half the bills. Atticus said, I'm in. Well, he didn't understand what that meant. You have to pay half the bills. He just saw the candy. And too often in Christ, all we look for is candy. Look at little things. And God says, I want you to grow up. I want to see some maturity. And so with that in mind, turn me James chapter 3. And this morning we're going to look at verses 13 through 16. Life's lessons. And I ask when you find that, if you'll stand in our great God's honor. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Let's pray. Father, so often I feel like a child, Lord. And your word says to all who received you, to those who believe in his name, we become children of God. But Father, I don't need to be childish. As 1 Corinthians 13 says, put childish ways behind me. And Father, help us this morning as we look at your truth in the book of James as it discusses this, Lord. Just speak to our hearts and draw us nearer to Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen. Many times when we think about the Bible, it's a book that discusses, what do you believe? I believe one of the reasons James is such a popular book, his focus, instead of more on what do you believe, is on how do you behave? What's it look like to be a grown-up Christian? You know, a popular t-shirt a couple years ago, I think it's still around, it says, I cannot adult today. But our witness, it says a lot when we don't adult in faith on a day. When it's about selfish ambition. When it's about being bitter. When it's about just merely lifting ourselves up. This section he begins and he says, who is wise and understanding among you? In other words, it's like James is talking to the church, those believers around him. And he says, okay, who's the wise people in here? Who's the ones who have it together in Christ? Show me. Talk to me. Let's have a conversation about it. But as he goes on within the Scripture, he reveals what it is like to be a grown up. First, I want to start out here at wise. What is wisdom? What does wisdom actually mean? Well, the Greek word, sophos, it's just talking about general knowledge. But the ideas in the Scripture, as you look in the Scripture, it is not just having the information in your head. It is not just about being able to philosophize or to be able to say the words. It's about living the words. It's about practicing the words. It's about the words being an actual part of your life. It tells us in the Scriptures The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. What does it mean to be wise? It is to respect God in what you do. It is to ask the question of, how will God be pleased? Will it be pleased if I do this? Or will it be pleased if I choose to do this? It is considering God in our decisions. It is considering God in what we say. It is considering God day after day in our lives. And basically, when the Scripture talks about a fool, as it says in Psalm 14, verse 1, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I'm afraid there are many, even in the body of Christ, who come across as fools because they do not ask the question or consider, does my life give evidence to the existence of God? Does what I say, does what I do testify that there is a loving God? In Romans chapter 1, Paul gives this wonderful truth of Scripture. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Just kind of like Roy said this morning, just look outside. And there you say, wow, there's a God. God speaks through what He has made. It goes on, He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. You see, they claimed to be wise. They claimed to have special insight into how to live, and if you just listen to me, or if you just follow me, I'll set the example. But the Bible says here, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. That's the word moros, from which we get our word moron. And basically what he is saying here, when you do not glorify God with your life and you do not give thanks to God, you're being a moron. Woo! that's some powerful words that the Scripture indicates. We need to consider God in our lives, in those choices that we make. That's wisdom. It's interesting. I read, actually this morning, it was a news article. And in the article, it talked about a lesson they learned, this couple, from their 8-year-old son. He had gotten his passport, and he was excited as he looked through the passport. And they had some quotes from Americans, well-known Americans through history, and they were talking about the quotes and what the quotes meant. And then they came to this example from 1869, the first transcontinental railroad. And there was a quote that's upon one of the ends of this transcontinental railroad where the train ended up. And this quote, it said, may God continue the unity of our country as the railroad unites the two great oceans of the world. And the 8-year-old, he looked at that and he looked puzzled and he said, why would a country that won't let God in our schools want to unify us? And they were able to explain, son, you know, when you disrespect God, you're not far off from disrespecting everybody. No wisdom. So we're called to have wisdom. Secondly is understanding. Who is wise and understanding among you? This word understanding, this is the only place this is used in the New Testament, this particular word. And it means a specialization. It means somebody who is considered an expert in this particular area. In other words, who among you apply the truth of God and you are an expert? You are able to completely and fully do that in order to honor God. Of course, it is a picture of something that is practiced and improved upon as we practice. It made me think of the joy of driving a vehicle. And had read about one 15-year-old in New York City who Actually, two guys tried to take his wallet, and they had knives, and man, he put up the biggest fight, and help finally arrived, and they said, man, they could have killed you. Why didn't you just give up your wallet? He said, because my driver's permit was in there. That was the most important thing to him at that point, was being able to drive. And as I think about driving, what a learning process. I had this driver's ed teacher in high school, Mr. Blankenship. And Mr. Blankenship, guys, looked just like Elmer Fudd. Do you remember Elmer Fudd? And he was an interesting character. And I'll never forget, we were in this parking lot, and he was trying to teach me how to park. And if you've ever been with a driver's ed teacher in one of the cars they use for driving, there is one big difference in a driver's ed vehicle. The guy sitting next to you, who's your teacher, has a brake. If you do something wrong, he can hit that brake. And he showed me that. He said, now, Freeman, I just want you to know, Freeman, that there's a brake over here on my side. And if you do something crazy, Freeman, I'm telling you, I'll just hit that brake, and I will not hesitate to hit that brake, Freeman. You hear me? And I'll never forget trying to parallel park. You don't really have to parallel park. Guys, I'll just confess, that was tough. It took me a while to parallel park. And he said one day, he said, Freeman, I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be Christmas. And Santa Claus will be up on that roof, and the reindeer will be there, and the presents will be coming down, and I'll still be here with you trying to parallel park. I can sort of do it now through all the years and through all the experience. But it's taken some experience to grow in that, in learning how to drive. And sometimes, also one of the places you can lose a lot of your faith, can't you, and get really impatient with one another. The thing about it is, you're not going to be a good driver if you leave the car in park or if you leave the car in a garage. You have to drive. You have to get out on the road. That's the only way to get better at driving. And you know what? You find out when you're out on the road, you're not alone. There are other people that are driving, and it can be complicated driving. Right? But that's the way you learn to drive. And it can be complicated growing up in our faith and following Jesus and living for Him. But the only way to do it is to do it. The way that we grow in our faith is to live for Christ. Is to walk with Him by faith. We can't stay in the driveway. So, how do we get better at it? Well, let's go on in our text here. He gives us some mile markers with our progress in the faith, how that will occur. He says, let him show it by his good life. Good behavior. Caring about people. Being sensitive to other people. Not always having just a me first mentality, but actually considering who's beside you or who's in front of you or who's behind you and thinking about the needs of that other person. That's good behavior. And you know, you can make a big list and you can get specific with it, but I Jesus said it. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, it's the second commandment. The first, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. But that's connected to loving your neighbor. It's connected to that good life. And that's what He calls us to do, is to care about each other. Good behavior. Well, if you want a list, I took a list from that great book. Man, I think it's a classic, by Robert Fulghum. All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I'm just going to share. He's got 16 things here. I think this is pretty good. Share everything. This is kindergarten, what you learn. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Isn't that true, man? I hate cleaning up other people's messes. I hate cleaning up my messes. But I hate it worse, clean up yours. Okay, I got to move on. Don't take things that are yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and drink some and draw some and paint some and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. Amen. Okay, I got to move on. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why. But we're all like that. Goldfish and hamster and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Live a good life. Care about people. And then there is a second marker, mile marker in maturing in Christ, and that is humility. He tells us in the text to live a life humble that comes from humility. Wisdom that comes from humility, from being willing to be patient with other people. The word that's used here that's translated humble or humility, it was used earlier in chapter 1, verse 21, where he says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In other words, he's saying here, listen to God. Pay attention to what he wants to show you in his word. Listen to God. It matters. And you save yourself a lot of heartache if you listen to God and you follow God. It made me think of a couple of verses with that. You know, in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, you know. That's what it does, man. The Word of God, it speaks to us, and it corrects us, and it guides us, and it gives us the wisdom that we need to make the right decisions as we live. Kind of reminds me, you know, when people walk their dogs. You seen those crazy leashes they got? I always thought this was a little bit crazy. You're trying to teach your dog to walk. You have one of those leashes, and you push a button, and the dog, you know, it gives the dog slack. And man, it can go out 15 feet. Man, you know, you got that other button. Hey, you got too far. Psh, hit that button and pull them back in, you know? Almost seems cruel, almost kind of fun. Is that wrong? But anyway. And then, you know, it used to be in the days, especially of the malls, now we don't have a mall, where you'd see people, they'd have a little one, and they'd have one of those leashes and a harness on them, and put the slack on it, let that kid go a little ways, reel him back in, you know, so he doesn't get too far away. And so the picture here that's being shared is, listen to the master, and he gives you some slack to go out there. But when you feel that nudge from the Spirit of God telling you to come back, don't run off, come back. Learn to walk beside the master. That's what it means to walk in humility, to live in humility. The word that's used here, it was used in the Greek to speak of a teacher that had students that would be critical and be tough, Logan. Say all kinds of things you don't want to hear, but the teacher's patient, doesn't attack back, and acts like an adult. or it speaks of a gentle breeze, not a harsh breeze that could cause damage, but a gentle breeze that is refreshing, or just the right amount of a medication so that it's able to serve its purpose, and not too much of the medication so that it causes all types of problems. Or a gentle fire, not a fire that burns everything and chars it, but it provides warmth and comfort. And Jesus himself exemplified this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about how he suffered leading up to the cross. And of course the cross, the suffering that he endured. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, it tells us that though they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. It says, even though he suffered, he did not give threats or attack. Instead, he entrusted the judge who judges fairly. And then that great example in Philippians 2, right? He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness, and he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Growing up in Christ means we have to be humble. We have to trust him. One of the commentators, as I was studying this, shared a story. His dad was a missionary in Norfolk, working with the servicemen, the naval people there, and they were in a rough section of Norfolk that was just filled with massage parlors and back then they had X-rated movies, these theaters and all of that. And anyway, he said he was a teenager. He was standing outside with his dad, and they had a paper invitation to come to a meeting for the servicemen, to a chance to hear about God. And anyway, this guy came by. He took the piece of paper. He looked at it. He threw it down. He turned, and he slapped this guy's dad right across. He slapped him right across the face. And his commentator, he said, you know what my first godly thought was? Dad, we can take him. We can finish this. We can make this right together. He said his dad, he just kind of got himself together. He looked at the guy and he kind of cracked a smile and he said, do you feel better? And then he tried to talk to him about Christ. And he said, I never forgot that. Man. It is not weakness. It is power under control. It is being able to say to that ungodly self, fall in line. Follow God. Be humble. It's not merely about you. Two principles as we close this thing out, drawn from James here. Wisdom is not automatically given to those who can identify it. It is given to those who are willing to practice. It's not enough just to say, that's wise. We're called to do it day after day. Make it a part of our lives, the choices we make. And then secondly, wisdom is not automatically given to those who'd like to have it. It's given to those who cannot live without it. In Proverbs chapter 2, it talks about seeking wisdom as if you're searching for silver or looking for hidden treasure. It's to be a pursuit. We want to grow up in Jesus and in the faith and the following. So I guess the question for all of us is, am I mature? Am I mature? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you for this truth found in James, Father. Life's lessons. And I pray, oh God, that you would make us more like Jesus. And maybe there's somebody here today that has they've not even taken the first step, which is to say, God, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I need Jesus in my life. What a great day to make a decision to invite Jesus to come set up his home in your heart. Just to pray and to say, God, forgive me of my sin. Please come live inside of me. Please make me your child and give me a new start so I can continue the journey of growing up in you. Or Father, maybe there are others here, and I understand sometimes I feel like such a child in the faith. And maybe there's someone here, and You are struggling, Father, with just immature decisions that you are struggling with, or a sin, a temptation that you keep falling in that area. And God wants to give you strength. He wants to help you. And Lord, you're the only one that can help us. So I pray with an altar that's open that you maybe will bring someone this morning who needs to pray, who needs to just come to you humbly, Father, to find strength that you alone provide. Father, maybe it's to take a step to be baptized, to follow you in baptism. Father, I know at times there are people that have trusted you but have not taken that next step of saying, I belong to Jesus and I want to show his people through baptism. And I pray, Father, if someone finds himself or herself in that position, what a great day to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to follow in baptism. God, whatever it is, whatever the call, Father, our hearts are open, the altar's open, and we want to be open to you as you speak, God, that you may be glorified. In Christ's name we pray.